J1, number 15A.
And now we turn to our illustrative material entitled Understanding and Demonstration. And here we find the two systems of reference, the divine system of reference of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and the human system of reference of mortal mind, matter, body, personal I, death, human consciousness, and fear. Now the fact is that scientific understanding brings correct demonstration. So therefore we have understanding cause and demonstration effect. Now if we understand our true identity as taught by the super symbols mind, spirit, and soul, this enables us to demonstrate eternal life, truth, and love. So the rule for us to follow really is to take the reasoning of mind, spirit, and soul as our governing principle, and then we can experience life, truth, and love. Do you see the flow of sequence there? And actually the same is true with the human system of reference. It's still under the same laws of cause and effect. If we take mortal mind, matter, and body then, as our personal principle or our reasoning principle, then our whole experience is death, human consciousness, and fear. And this is more or less where the world is today, as we have seen. You see, the world takes mortal mind, matter, and body as their personal theories. And because they take these root errors as their personal theories, the whole universal experience is death, human consciousness, and fear. And because we live in a mental universe, and because the majority rules, and because the majority takes mortal mind, matter, and body as their personal principle, then we are all experiencing death, human consciousness, and fear, no matter if just a few of us are learning the truths of mind, spirit, and soul. So the whole age in which we are going into is one in which is a re-education of all of humanity. So everyone has a new program fed into his computer, so to speak, so that everyone will take mind, spirit, and soul as their governing principle, so that all, the whole world, will experience eternal life, truth, and love. Now, Jesus was an individual person who experienced life, truth, and love as an individual. A few of us can experience eternal life, a state of divine consciousness, and a state of perfection ever so often. But what we're doing now, we're going into the age where all of humanity will experience life, truth, and love. And in order to experience life, truth, and love, we then must take mind, spirit, and soul as our governing principle. So turn then to the illustrative material that you have entitled Mind, Spirit, and Soul. Now, what's so important about these super symbols that we have been studying up to now is that they lift our thought out of the physical into the divinely metaphysical. And we see here through this illustrative material just how mind, spirit, and soul do this. And we have the illustrative material divided then into these two columns, one the divinely metaphysical and the other the physical. And we see mind as a symbol conveys this. And as we know that the infinite mind is the basis of reality, and that mind alone is the only creator, producer, and cause which forms the image that we see. There is only one mind, the infinite mind. There are not minds many. This is in a nutshell what mind as a symbol conveys. Now what does it lift the illusion from? It lifts off the physical belief that there exists mind per se, mind as thinking substance. And it lifts off the restraint or belief that everyone has a separate mind. Then we go on to spirit, and we see that spirit as a symbol conveys this meaning, that the infinite mind is the only reality, and that substance is idea, a mind formation, not matter. Now this fact, this divinely metaphysical fact, lifts off the restraint of the illusion or misunderstanding that there exists matter per se, and that matter is a sensible, life-giving substance. Then we go on to our next synonymous term, soul. And as we have seen, soul as a symbol conveys that the infinite mind then constitutes our true, unchangeable identity. And all the faculties of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling are faculties of mind, not body. So this fact, this metaphysical fact, lifts the restraint off the illusion or misunderstanding that mind and matter combined is one, and that sensible matter constitute what we call body, and that all the faculties of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling are material and belong to the body. Now, to go on, just turn then to our illustrative material that we have entitled The Critical Three and a Half, or The Step from Metaphysics to Science. Now this critical three and a half point is a point which we must all encounter. We all encounter in our life experience. And it's actually at the point of the critical three and a half, we make the step from metaphysics to science. And this is a point which happens right between the third synonymous term of soul and the fourth synonymous term of principle. Now, what we have seen with mind, spirit, and soul is that mind, the infinite mind, is the only reality, and therefore the infinite mind constitutes our true identity. So with mind, spirit, and soul, we have set the tone of what our true identity is. So we feel now quite comfortable. We know what our true identity is. It's the infinite mind. And this identity, therefore, is unchangeable. But now comes the critical three and a half point. And this is where the big question is put before us. Do we ourselves demonstrate life, truth, and love? Do we have to make life work, so to speak? Do we have to make truth work? Do we have to make love work? Or does principle itself demonstrate life, truth, and love? Or we can ask this question at this critical point of three and a half. Are we trying to demonstrate what we think should be demonstrated? Do we try to demonstrate in our life all the different experiences that we feel we have to have? Or are we going to let divine principle demonstrate what is in the plan of being itself? And it's at this point where it takes enormous courage to actually say, well, I'm going to put behind all my desires and wishes and plans and ambitions of what I think my life should be and how I think it should work out. And perhaps something happens in my life which I feel, gee, you know, that shouldn't have happened. I should have maintained this position which I was fired at, or I should have been able to maintain this friendship and this relationship. I should do this and this and this. It's at this point where we put behind all our opinions about our life experience and say, no, I'm just going to let principle demonstrate what principle has in view. Therefore, I can't say that being let off a job was wrong, that this, because a certain friendship or relationship didn't work out, that it was wrong, because in being, principle has a bigger plan for us, and therefore we must let principle operate. So this critical three and a half point where we make the decision, are we going to try to demonstrate life, or are we going to let principle demonstrate itself, appears in the Bible. And the Bible illustrates this particular critical three and a half point in its step from the 3,000-year period of soul to the 4,000-year period of principle. And you know that at this critical point, it was King Saul who tries to rule Israel according to his own personal opinions. So therefore, Saul does not make this critical three and a half step, let's say. He does not make the step from soul to principle. But he stays right in personal opinion. Then we come to King David, who rules Israel according to the dictates of principle. Therefore, David makes this critical three and a half step from soul into principle. And over again, the Bible, using all sorts of symbols and illustrations, point up this critical three and a half point. And it will come in symbols such as the 3.5 days, as mentioned in Revelation, or the 42 months, which equals 3.5 years, which is also mentioned in Revelation. Or we have in the Bible mentioning a time, times, and a half, such as in Daniel or Revelation. So the 3.5 state of thought is one which we want to get away from. We want to be willing to make that step to principle, and we want to be willing to let go of our personal opinions. It's interesting that at this critical 3.5 point, we know our true identity, as we have just mentioned. But the important thing to see here is that even though we know that there is only one mind, and this mind is our very mind, it actually can be at a point of being confused again or lost. This understanding can be confused and lost. Also, our understanding of spirit can be something that is mixed again with material beliefs, and our understanding of soul or spiritual sense can be cut off if we do not put our whole understanding into principle itself, because it's actually our understanding based on principle which keeps us strong and solid and keeps us from falling back to personal opinions, which then can be clouded and cause us to backslide on our understanding of mind, spirit, and soul. So this is where Christian Science differs from other metaphysical teachings, because it demands us to make this critical 3.5 step. When we give up our personal I, actually, we gain something much more. We gain this whole experience of life, truth, and love. And as we begin to see what principle, life, truth, and love really means, and as we go on with our synonym study of principle, life, truth, and love, we will see then that life, truth, and love is really the only I. This whole experience of life itself, of truth, of divine consciousness, of love and perfection is really the only I, this whole activity. So we give up our personal I, and we now turn to principle, and we turn to the ideas which characterize principle, and we go on then with our study of the seven synonymous terms, and we are now at the point of principle. So turn to your illustrative material with all the ideas which characterize principle. And as we have done with the super symbols, mind, spirit, and soul, we'll also do with principle. We'll just follow the compendium, number 7, which is entitled principle, and follow all of the ideas which characterize principle. So, the first idea which comes up in the compendium on page 191 is this, just the term principle itself. So we ask ourselves, well, just what does principle mean? We say, well, I'm going to let principle govern. What does the term principle itself mean? And Webster gives this following definition. Webster defines principle as a fundamental truth, a comprehensive law or doctrine from which others are derived or on which others are founded, a general truth. So principle is a fundamental truth which includes all other truths. And this is how principle is used in our study of Christian Science. Principle is that great big super symbol which includes all the other synonymous terms. And Mary Baker Eddy, in her article on capitalization and miscellany, states, in their, meaning Christian Scientist, textbook, it is clearly stated that God is divine principle And his synonyms are love, truth, life, spirit, mind, soul, which combine as one. The divine principle includes them all. Let's again turn to our illustrative material, and this time turn to the one entitled The Sevenfold Principle. Now then, principle, because it is a term which includes all the other synonymous terms. And from this super symbol, principle, we have a sevenfold principle then. And principle is the term or point, we could call it actually the central point from which to view all the other synonymous terms. Now we see from this central point of principle, we see then that mind, spirit, and soul symbolize the nature of God, and that life, truth, and love symbolize the essence of God. But it's important to see that mind, spirit, and soul, life, truth, and love combine as one, and they combine as principle, at the point of principle. And therefore, principle is that term which symbolizes the wholeness of God. And also looking out from principle, we can say that mind, spirit, and soul constitute the creative principle, whereas life, truth, and love constitute the triune principle. So as we go on in the ideas which characterize principle, we come to this next idea, and it is the creative principle. And we see that the creative principle then is mind, spirit, and soul. And mind, spirit, and soul, as a creative principle, state our nature, our true identity, as we have seen, which is that we are the one mind, which is the own reality, which is always true and unchangeable. But mind, spirit, and soul, as the creative principle, explains also the creation of ideas. So we can say mind, as a symbol, conveys that the one mind creates all as ideas. And then spirit, as a symbol, conveys that these ideas are unfolded and developed in an ordered way. And then soul, as a symbol, conveys that these ideas are definite, distinct, and unchangeable. So here we have mind, spirit, and soul stating as symbols are the nature of our true identity, and we have mind, spirit, and soul as symbols stating the creative principle or explaining the creation of ideas. Then we go on to life, truth, and love, and we go on then to the triune principle of life, truth, and love. And from this central point of principle, we see that life, truth, and love constitutes the essence of our true nature. Now, looking up just the word essence in Webster's dictionary, we find that essence means this. It means that which constitutes the particular nature of a being or substance. Formal existence. That which makes anything to be what it is. Existence. The quality of being. Now, let's just take this definition by part and take the point that says of essence, that which constitutes the particular nature of a being or substance. So, we say, the one mind constitutes the nature of our identity. We have derived this from the super symbols mind, spirit, and soul. But now we say, what actually constitutes the very essence of the one mind? We now know that the one mind is our identity, but now we say, what constitutes the very essence of the one mind? And this is where the symbols life, truth, and love come in. Because life, as a symbol, states that the divine mind, our true individuality, is self-existent, is ever-present, is here and now, is self-sustaining, eternal, indestructible, deathless, immortal. And then truth, as a super symbol, states that the divine mind, our mind, is self-expressed, is actual, is truthful, is ideal, is divinely conscious, is whole, and is open to new revelation. And love, as a super symbol, states that the divine mind, our very mind, is self-fulfilled, is perfect, complete, of highest excellence, is inseparable from principle, is self-sufficient, self-contained, lovely, selfless, good, blesses all, and is purposeful. And then we look at this definition of essence, and it also goes on to say that essence means that which makes anything to be what it is. It's a quality of being. So we can see that life, truth, and love not only states what constitutes mind, but it also states the very experience of this mind. So when we come into our work with life, truth, and love, we are now going to be studying our very experience of our true identity, the very activity of our true identity. So, because mind, spirit, and soul are our true identity, what does it experience? Well, it experiences and demonstrates life. It experiences true individuality, multiplication, abundance, supply, newness, spontaneity, eternality, isness, permanency, indestructibility, deathlessness. Mind, spirit, soul, our true identity, experiences and demonstrates truth. It experiences and demonstrates actuality, truthfulness, divine consciousness, health, wholeness, new revelation, self-expression. Mind, spirit, and soul, our true identity, experiences and demonstrates love. We experience and demonstrate perfection, completeness, highest excellence, oneness, loveliness, protection, holiness, rest, peace, plan, purpose. This is our whole experience, as stated by life, truth, and love. Also, it's mentioned that life, truth, and love is a triune principle, or it's mentioned that life, truth, and love is Trinity in unity, or that life, truth, and love means the triune person. And we say, why? Well, in Christian Science, these biblical symbols of the Trinity in unity, the triune person, or the Trinity of Father, Son, and Mother are interpreted as life, truth, and love. We have life, the Father, or that which is life-giving, life-sustaining, the self-existent, self-sustaining life. We have truth, the Son, or that which is affirmative, asserting, the self-affirming, self-claiming, ideal truth. Or we have love, the Mother, or that which is all-embracing, all-protecting, impartial, the all-embracing, all-protecting love. So mind, spirit, and soul, and life, truth, and love combine as one and constitute principle, which is an indivisible whole. And this is really the greatness of Mary Baker Eddy, as we know, is that she defined this term God, or the Supreme Being, as a sevenfold principle. And everything we begin to see is the effect of this one sevenfold principle. And everything is subject to this one sevenfold principle. And in Miscellany, Mrs. Eddy states, what are termed in common speech the principle of harmonious vibration, the principle of conservation of number in geometry, the principle of the inclined plane in mechanics, are but an effect of one universal cause, an emanation of the one divine intelligent principle that holds the earth in its orbit by evolved spiritual power, that commands the waves and the winds, that marks the sparrow's fall, and that governs all from the infinitesimal to the infinite, namely God. Withdraw God, the divine principle, from man and the universe, and man and the universe would no longer exist. Here she shows that everything is the effect of this one sevenfold principle, and everything is subject to this one sevenfold principle. Okay, so we go on and with our list of ideas then that characterize principle, and we come to this fact, that all ideas have the same principle. So all this really means to us is that all ideas have the same divine parentage. That, namely, that is the one divine sevenfold principle. So everything is a result of mind, spirit, soul, the creative principle, and everything experiences and demonstrates life, truth, and love, the triune principle. And this is where Mrs. Eddy states in Science and Health on page 517, God has countless ideas, and they all have one principle and parentage. And we say, doesn't this really make life simple if we can just see this and get a hold of that sevenfold principle? And we go on to the idea that principle and its idea. And in the compendium we read, God, the principle of being, can be grasped only through his idea. So we ask ourselves, what does this mean? Well, it means this. It means that God, the sevenfold principle, has an idea. God, the sevenfold principle, has an image of itself. If principle did not have an idea, if principle did not have an image of itself, then there would be no proof of principle's existence. So we write this. We write principle hyphen idea. Meaning that principle has an idea, or principle has an image of itself. And this is idea in the singular. And it, when we always write idea in the singular, it means that idea means the whole of principle itself. So we are principle hyphen idea. And you've seen this written where it's just principle hyphen idea. Meaning that we are principle, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining principle. So, where Mrs. Eddy says that man is the compound idea, and we then correlate ourselves with the term idea, because we say we're man. Well, we take it and we say we are principle idea. Well, idea is in the singular, and idea always means the whole of principle itself. So we, as principle idea, are the whole principle appearing in an individualized way. Now, when we find in Christian Science the word ideas in the plural, we often use this term to designate the various attributes or characteristics of a synonymous term. For example, we'll say intelligence, power, and law are the ideas of mind. Or substance, order, and purity are the ideas which characterize spirit. But when we say idea, always know that this refers to the whole, and it refers to the whole of principle itself. We go on with the fact that idea is seen and must be seen in its principle. Now, this comes to the critical 3.5 point. As principle idea, are we going to let ourselves be seemingly governed by personal opinions? Or as principle idea, are we going to let ourselves be governed by principle itself? Are we going to see ourselves in principle? Or we could say this at this critical and half point. Are we going to call such ideas as intelligence, law, power, our own personal ideas? Or are we going to understand that all ideas are always the ideas of principle and in principle itself? And so, as we go on, we say, no, we're going to see that we are governed by principle and our identity is in principle, and we're going to see that all ideas are of and in principle. So therefore, this is our reasoning. Our reasoning then is always out from the one divine sevenfold principle. It's never out from mind, matter, body, personal I, death, human consciousness, or fear. This is our whole basis of reasoning, is from principle. And Mrs. Eddy states, the Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea as a basis of thought and demonstration. So our basis of thought and demonstration must always be the one principle. And, you know, when we finally make this critical 3.5 step into principle, we can all call ourselves angels. Then we'll be angels. Because Mrs. Eddy says this about angels. She says, these upward soaring beings never lead toward self, sin, or materiality, but guide to the divine principle of all good. So when we put ourselves right back into principle, we're angels. We go on and we see our list of ideas which characterize principle, and we come to this point of principle, and its idea is one. And this particular statement is made by Mrs. Eddy in Science and Health on page 465. Now, she does not say principle and its idea are one. As you know, she says is one, because are one would be something that implies two. Now we come to the point of relationship. So, since principle and its idea is one, this states our true relationship with principle. And it states a true relationship between principle and its idea. And therefore, because it is one, therefore principle and idea is one and the same thing, and therefore the relationship is that of oneness. But what's important to see here, as Mrs. Eddy goes on, we can say, well, just what is this one? And she says, principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. This one is principle itself. And this is important when we quote and quote and quote this particular statement of Mrs. Eddy, to go on and just not say that principle and its idea is one, but to go on and say, and this one is God. This one is principle itself. So as principle hyphen idea, or as principle idea, our true relationship is that we are principle itself. We are the one principle, infinitely individualized, yet still principle. So we are the sevenfold principle, then it is I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love.